This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
We have now come up with another milestone in our church. We have come up with an insurance program for all members of this church, and this is a major achievement. And basically what we did is to leverage the numbers of our membership, which is really, we have over 3,000 members, actually more than 4,000. And so we use that to negotiate the price down. This is not uncommon. Corporations do that. And the city of Pyramid, city of Alexandria, and the hospital, Cabrillion, regional hospital, they use the number of employees to negotiate the price down so you can get the best deal. That's exactly what we have done. So December 5, which is a Saturday, we're going to begin to sign up people. This is a new day. You will probably be the first church on this side of Jordan. I'm so proud of you. Amen. Thank God for Zion Hill with its own insurance. I got insurance with the state, but I'm going to get another one. Amen. So if I die, you don't have to pass the hat. Amen. So if you want life insurance, burial insurance, health insurance, or whatever, and you will not get the price anywhere else because we're using the numbers to bring down the price. So Saturday, December 5, right there in our movie theater, we're going to be signing people up. The time will be 9 a.m. through 1 p.m. And then from 2 to 5. So we're going to practice space, social distancing and all that. And we're going to use our mask. Hallelujah. I see you get your mask. That's very good. Let's walk and do the right thing and live healthy. Amen. All minds clear? The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse number 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The scripture says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God." My Lord, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. I'm amazed how simple and how clear you are, and yet we miss it. Holy Spirit, help our understanding. Use me to teach your word, to preach it correctly. Bless your people today, O God. Lord, we pray against any form of sicknesses, any form of disease, any form of infirmity in our midst. We send it back to sender, to the devil where it come from. We usher in refreshing anointing, good health and strength. And Lord, we thank you that we will live and not die. Thank you for your faithfulness in the life of this church. We give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, I have been preaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is a very timely subject because the Holy Spirit is hardly mentioned in some churches. In fact, most churches, they only talk about God, and they talk about Jesus, and they talk about angels and prophets. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's very little being said. So I'm grateful for this church for giving me the permission to teach freely what thus says the Lord. We started this series. The first thing we talked about is who is the Holy Spirit. I wanted for you to know him. I want you to know that he is a person and he cares about you. Then the second week we talked about how to be baptized in the Spirit. We just don't want you to know him. We want you to experience Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. And today I'm going to be sharing with you how to be led by the Spirit. So you need to know who he is, you need to be baptized in him, and you need to be led by him. Please don't be surprised that I talked about the Holy Spirit leading you. Ever since the creation of the world, God always wanted to lead his people. Amen. Have you ever gone to the grocery store with your little child? You just don't want your child to be running all over the store. He may fall, she may be kidnapped, she may be missing, so you want to lead your child. So God is our parent. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you so that you don't fall, so that you don't get kidnapped, so you don't get lost in this crazy world. God, from creation, always wants to lead his people. How you know that, Pastor? You remember the story of how he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Bible said on their journey, he led them by a pillar of cloud by day. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, when it gets hot, there's a covering for them. Hallelujah. Let that sink in. And when it gets dark at night, he led them by a pillar of fire. The truth be told, even in your life, in my life, sometimes it gets dark. I've experienced it many times, to be honest with you, that things get dark for me. And if the Lord didn't shine in the light, I'll be walking in total darkness. Just don't know what I'm doing, don't know where I'm going, don't know what to do. So God always wants to lead his people. David recognized that in Psalms 23. He said, he leads me beside still water. See, he knew the importance of God leading. David also said in that psalm, he said, he led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. David realized without God, you cannot even do right. So we need God to lead us in the path of righteousness. You cannot serve God without without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And David pictured God as a shepherd, because David himself was a shepherd boy. So he described God as the great shepherd. I share with my church this morning that shepherds in Africa have three duties to do. I know you all ride limousines and drive all these fancy cars. You don't have too many shepherds in your neck of the wood. But where I came from, there are shepherds. And shepherds, one of the duties of shepherds is that they meet the needs of the sheep. Another duty of the shepherd is they feed the sheep. Another duty of the shepherd is they lead the sheep. They just don't feed them with food, they lead them. The sheep doesn't know where to go. They have to be led. The shepherd take the leads. So God, as our shepherd, wants to lead us and guide us so you don't make wrong turns, so you don't marry the wrong person, so you don't take the wrong job, so you don't move to the wrong neighborhood. Sisters, how are you going to know who to date unless the Holy Spirit leads you? Just because Brother Baba show up with his triceps and biceps and Jerry Curl dripping all over the place, that don't mean he's going to be a good husband. So he takes the leading of the Holy Spirit. Many decisions I have to make as your pastor, I have no clue unless the Holy Spirit leads me. In the Old Testament, God promised them, I'll be with you, I will dwell among you. But you get to the New Testament, you see God is saying, I will actually live in you. I will walk through you. I will lead you and guide you. So when you are saved, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He comes into your heart. He begins to tabernacle there. He lives there in your heart. You become what we call a new creature. But please don't forget that although the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are still a man or woman of flesh. What does that mean? That means you still have the propensity to do wrong. That means you still have tendency to do wrong. Many of you won't admit it, but the truth be told, although you're a Christian, every now and then your flesh still wants to do wrong. Every now and then your flesh wants to go to the wrong place. Amen. Amen. You'll be amazed. Every now and then you're on the computer and some of these crazy companies send you a picture. But then you look at it before you close it. Mm-hmm. And nobody shout. That flesh will flip out on you. That flesh still want to go to the casino. I even convinced myself one day, there's a place way up there in around Kinder. They told me that the food is good. So I convinced myself, I'm only going to go eat. I make sure I didn't go to the one in Maxfield because Pastor Dayton might see me. I mean, this flesh will go off on you. That flesh want to curse somebody sometimes. That flesh will touch what it's not supposed to touch. Mm-hmm. And nobody shouting now. That flesh will look at something. Mm-hmm. Amen. Maybe I'm the only sinner saved by grace. Oh, goodness gracious. That is why we need to be led by the Spirit. Because we are still living in this flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, if you walk by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it takes the leading of the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 also say, if we say we are Christian, if we live by the Spirit, then we ought to be walking by the Spirit. Have you ever seen some people that they just talk about being a Christian, but they never live it? Ain't that something? They preach good, all right. You see them all dressed up, three-piece suit, a big cross on his neck, with a big Bible. But you just wait. Guess where you see him? In the city. Exactly where he's not supposed to be. Amen. I remember I had a come to Jesus meeting with some of my singing people many years ago. They sing good now. And then they had some drama going on the Facebook. I said, the devil is a liar. They have left now. They know. I got the right one now. Amen. Thanks to Sister Gail, we work hard on that. Jesus. This flesh will flip out on you from the pulpit to the pews. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be led by the Spirit. So the text today says, as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the ones you can really call children of God. You know, a lot of people that say they're Christian, they're just running their mouth. Just because you preach, that don't mean you're a Christian. Just because you sing in the choir, that don't mean you're a Christian. Just because you are the chairman of the Willing to Do committee, or maybe you're president of the frog jumping contest in the church, that don't make you a Christian. The Bible says what makes you a child of God is when you are led by the Spirit. And you are still here. Now, the one good thing about human beings, most of us don't mind being led. We just elected a president. Guess what we elected him to do? To lead us. So people don't mind being led, but sometimes we are led by the wrong thing. Say, for example, some people are being led by their circumstance. They are not led by the Holy Spirit. They are led by their circumstance. I couldn't think of any example this morning. I told my church people, have you seen people that true story, I missed my flight. My brother-in-law came to visit us, and we went to Alexandria. You probably remember that, Alexandria Airport. And anyway, we missed the flight. And somebody say, oh, that must be the will of God. I said, no, you missed the flight. That's not the will of God. No. So, ladies and gentlemen, you don't allow things that happen in your life to lead you. That's just circumstance. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit. If you oversleep and you miss going to work, you don't say, the Lord must have not wanted me to work on that job. No, you just slept too much. That happens to me, literally. It was Sunday morning, I'm supposed to be here preaching, and guess what? Don't tell anybody I told you, you know. There are some things I just tell only you. I was at home, sound asleep. Snoring. And so the deacons come and get me. They say, Pastor, are you all right? I say, I'm all right now. But thank God for the musician. They've been well trained, so they just kept singing. Oh, people say, oh, the spirit was moving. No, the pastor was late. So don't laugh. No, thank God. I really thank God for where's Sister Thomas? Thank God for you all. I'll be honest with you. They have bailed me out so many times, you all won't know. And people say, oh, the spirit was moving today. Then the spirit, you were late. So don't be led by your circumstance. Don't be led by your feelings. Amen. Because, you know, feelings are only temporary. Feelings come, feelings go. So you know how people will say, well, just listen to your conscience. Let your conscience guide you. No, there's no scripture for that. The scripture never say you allow your conscience to lead you. Many people get married based on their conscience. They say, I just follow my heart. But the Bible say in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it said the heart is very deceitful and desperately wicked. You can get yourself in trouble just following your heart. Just following your heart. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, even prophecies. You'll be surprised. We just had an election. Some pastor cannot talk to me now because of all their lies. Oh, I heard from God. God said this person going to win. No, you're a lying devil. Only the Holy Spirit is given the permission to lead us. That's why the Bible says, judge all prophecies. I've seen many people be misled. Yeah, and the Lord told me you're going to get married in December. That actually happened to my member. We were meeting, you remember, baby, we were in a meeting in Bolton Avenue. And this guest preacher, he just called one of my members out. He said, I see the Lord said by December. That girl is still single till today. That's 7 years later. No, we have to forgive me for being real. We got to keep it 100. You are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't let people mislead you. Don't let people lie to you. Don't even lie to your own self. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems good. It seemeth good to you, but the end thereof is what? Is destruction. So just because you think about it, that don't mean it's right. Amen, somebody. And then there are some people who are guided by psychic. Ain't that something? They'll be guided. I have a member like that. Precious sister. She just called me out of nowhere. I thought she just wanted to say hello. She said, Pastor, what month were you born? I said, what month? So I thought maybe she's going to send me a birthday gift or something. So I said, I'm born in the month of March. She said, I need. I said, you need what? She said, I've been studying the sign, the star. People who are born, I hang up the phone. Don't be led by psychic or mediums or horoscope. All of that will not help you. Those are fake stuff. Notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through verse 12. The Bible is so clear. That's why we put these scriptures for you on the screen so you can read it for yourself. And the Bible says, never, never look to psychics. Don't look to mediums. Don't believe the fortune tellers. Don't follow the stars. Don't be a part of any person who is trying to contact the dead. Can you read? It's all spelled out for you. The Bible said God hates these things. I shared with my church this morning that I used to have a minister of the gospel that wanted to start a ministry right here in this church. And she packaged it and said, she's a widow herself, you know. So it makes sense to me. I said, maybe she just wants to help other widows. And then when I asked her to break it down, she said they're going to get a grant from Cabrini, and then they're going to be going to the burying ground, and they're going to be talking to their dead husband. I said, I know the devil when I see one. The Bible made it very clear. Don't get involved in all of that. The only person that God permits to lead you and guide you is the Holy Spirit. So if you're following the stars, I said it and I say it again, if you're following the stars, you're not following the sun. S-O-N. Ladies and gentlemen, those who fake stuff will not help you. They are counterfeit. And then there are some church folks who just think they don't need to follow nothing. They think they're all right. There are many of them in the house of God. You can't teach them nothing. They think they know all the Bible. They think they never do wrong. And I notice a lot of these elderly people, sometimes they're guilty of that. While they're young, they messed up and do all kind of crazy stuff. Now they're too old, they're walking on banana peel. And now they're so holy and they want to tell everybody. I have to actually confront some people like that. The Lord don't call me to be normal. Like one of my pastors, they sat her down. They said she cannot minister in the pulpit. I said, what? You know what they told her? They said because she had tattoo on her, she shouldn't come on the pulpit. Man, I go Baptist on all of them. You know, there's some demons that God has delivered me from, but it was suppressed, so it came back up. I am the pastor, the last time I checked. I said, no, you don't tell any minister not to minister because she had tattoo. Man, I lost it. I said,
The TV, Doc. The TV.
Thank God for TV. What am I trying to tell you? Don't allow traditions of men. I mean, God is calling all kinds of people now. They might have a weird ear style. The question is, are you anointed? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we are lying. That's right, brother. The truth is not in us. So don't condemn people. Don't think nobody can tell you nothing. Don't think you know everything. Even your pastor don't know everything. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We are supposed to be saved by the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to live by the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be walking in the Spirit. We are supposed to be led by the Spirit. And you know what is so good about being led by the Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is leading you, you cannot go astray. Every mistake I've made is because I was walking in the flesh. I can look back over my life. I'm 61 years old. I can look back and say, that was a mistake. This one was a blowout. And every time, it was because the Holy Spirit was not involved. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, I will ask my Father to send you a helper that he may be with you, that he may lead you. He said, that's the Spirit of truth. John chapter 14, verse 26, put it this way. He said, the helper that Jesus is talking about, he is the Holy Spirit. The one whom the Father will send in my name. That scripture continues to say, he will teach you all things. By the way, all things means all things. Do you know what all things means? That means he will teach you who you're going to marry. He will teach you what job, what career you're going to get into. He will teach you what church to belong. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things. How you can maximize the moment. How you can survive COVID-19. How you can triumph in the midst of famine. So we see that the Holy Spirit does a lot of things for us if we let him. He will help us. He will teach us. The Bible says he will also bring to your remembrance all things. I was sharing this morning with my church. They thought I'm kidding. There are many things I just don't remember. One of my serious weaknesses, don't tell anybody, is that when people meet me and they assume I know them very well, and then my brain is spinning trying to remember, who is this person? What is his name? And I just don't remember. Guess what I have to depend on? I have to say, Holy Spirit, please help me. Because it looks very bad when somebody think they know you very well, and you have no clue who they are. And I'm amazed how many times the Holy Spirit had literally come to my rescue and would say, hey, you met him here. This is his name. That's our name. And all of a sudden, people think I'm such a genius. You need the Holy Spirit to remind you. And those of you who are getting up in age, the older we get, our memory begins to slide away. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, not only to remember things, I have to write it down. Not only do I have to write it down, then I have to remember where I put it. Keep on living. What is the message? You cannot be a nobody if the Holy Spirit is leading you. You cannot be a nobody if the Holy Spirit is helping you. You cannot be a nobody if the Holy Spirit is guiding you. You cannot be a nobody if the Holy Spirit is convicting you so you don't do wrong. Many people are doing all kinds of crazy things and getting in trouble. You know why? Because they are not being led by the Spirit. So, Brother Pastor, how do I get led by the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. The first thing, ladies and gentlemen, you must really want to be led by the Spirit. You have to hunger. You have to develop a longing for the Spirit. You have to develop a craving for him. Have you ever seen an addict before? See, I used to work as an advocate for the state, and people are suffering from drug addiction, and they think if you just take it away from them, that will solve their problem. No, wrong answer. We'll lock them up. We put security guard so they cannot get access to. But you know what? When that craving kicks in, I mean, they'll go through the roof to get a joint. You know what a joint is? Y'all don't know joint? Church people, church people. Church. Why y'all be tripping, man? Jesus, help me. Some of you look like, I never heard such a thing. You have to crave for the Spirit. The Bible says if you're hungry, you'll be fed. You have to really desire to have him in your life. Not only do you have to crave for him, you have to look into the scripture regularly. Why do you have to look into the scripture? Because the word of God is the will of God. So people will say, I don't know how he can lead me. Well, read the scripture. The scripture tells you what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. The scripture will tell you exactly how to conduct yourself. You know what is so sad, though? If I pass the microphone, you'll be surprised how many of you have never read your Bible this week. You know, that is so sad. Many people wait until they come to church before they hear anybody remind them about the scripture. And God help us if you have a pastor that don't even know the Bible. Now, Houston, we got a problem. So, seek the word of God. Well, some people will say, I'm just waiting for God to speak to me in my dream. Well, God will not give you new revelation if you have done nothing with what he already wrote. Why should he give you more when you have done nothing with what you got right now? Search the scripture. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you through the scripture. That's why Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a lamp, a light unto my pathways. Psalms 119, verse 133 says, guide my step by your word, so I will not be overcome by sin. You hear it all the time. The Joydara singers will be singing, order my step in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. You see, you're hearing it. You hear the choir singing. You hear the worship team singing. But don't just sing. These are based on the scripture. You want God to order your step. That's what David is saying. Because he said, if you don't order my step, I'm going to screw up. I was reading that. I said, David, amen, brother. Amen. You finally found my page. It takes God to guide me. It takes God to guide you. Another thing you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, you have to realize that you are a human being and you have a human nature and you have human tendency. I told my church this morning, I said, you have three enemies in your life. One of those enemies is called the world. The Bible says you are in this world, but you're not of this world. It says, do not conform to this world. The scripture after scripture to let you know the world that you live in is your enemy number one. The Bible said the things of this world will pass away. But God's word will stand forever. The second enemy you have, obviously, is the devil. The Bible warned you about him. Behold the devil, like a roaring lion, going around seeking whom he's going to devour. He's going to eat you up if you let him. But guess what your third enemy is? Your flesh. Your flesh, my flesh. I asked my church this morning, I say, can any of you live for 5 minutes without sin? You won't believe the result I got. Only two people raised their hand. And they were lying too, by the way. I mean, it's scary. We had almost 150 people. And only two people said they can live without sinning for 5 minutes. Not 5 hours, 5 minutes. I can't even get the preachers to raise their hand. See, what am I trying to tell you? Not trying to put the preachers down or put myself down. We cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. We need him to lead us. We need him to guide us. That is why you got to submit your life to him. You got to realize that you are just a human being. And another thing you need to know, you cannot please God. You cannot meet God's standard with your own human ability. I learned that the hard way. Because when I first came into ministry here, I thought I got all these degrees, I got all this wisdom, and I can just fix it. So I got all these ideas, big English, Greek and Hebrew. After a while, I began to see that none of that worth a dime. No wonder why Paul said, all my education, I count it as dung. So suddenly I realized I cannot do this work of ministry without the Holy Spirit. So I learned to rely on his wisdom. I learned to rely on his inspiration. I learned to rely on his encouragement. Because sometimes I get very discouraged. It takes the Holy Spirit to pick you up when nobody seems to understand what you're going through. Even sometimes you can live in the same roof full of people and they have no clue what you're going through. Have you ever been in a warfare that you know if the Lord didn't get you out, nobody else can? Been there many times. So it takes the Holy Spirit to lead us. I learned pretty quick that you can have PhD, you can have an RSD, you can have DDD, BBB. It don't worth a dime in this crazy world. You need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not make it. Now you understand why Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So what am I trying to tell you? As much as I promote education, as much as I promote talent, as much as I speak highly of people, those of you who have gifting, but at the end of the day, gift without the Holy Spirit is just entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, another thing you need to do when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you have to learn to rest upon him. You have to learn to depend on him. As long as you're depending on yourself, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you learn to depend on him, it's not somebody you pick up when you need him. You have to depend on him totally, continually. habitually, consistently. You have to depend on him every day, every hour, every minute, every second. When you get to the point that you realize you can't make it without him, your life will never be the same again. Now you see why our old folks will be singing, I need thee every hour. Every hour. Not every now and then, every hour. I like it when the choir was singing earlier today. They said, I was sinking. I said, man, somebody must find my page. See, many of you don't know this. During the week, I get with the musicians and try to find out what they want to know what I'm preaching, and then we'll try to compare notes. I didn't tell them to sing that song. But they were singing about me. They said the Negro was singing so bad. The brother was far from peaceful shore. But God, the master, heard my... You know, when was the last time you cried to God? That you said to God, if you don't help me, I won't make it. And then when you cry out to him, he will reach down and pick you up. I don't know who I've been preaching to. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back. But I pray today that you will give your life to Jesus Christ. That you will give your time to Jesus Christ. That you will allow his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. I don't know if you, like me, you are tired of making too many mistakes. And you say, Lord, I want you to take control. I saw a sign. Somebody had it on his car. He said, the Holy Spirit is my co-pilot. But I'm thinking, you better let him drive. Because the way you're swinging all over this, you're going to crash your car. You need the Holy Spirit. And finally, I will encourage you, if you really want to be led by the Holy Spirit, begin to obey him. See, if the Holy Spirit says turn right, but you keep turning left, you're not walking in obedience. If the Holy Spirit says that's a red light in front of you, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, don't fool with that man. Don't let the Jerry Curl fool you. The Holy Spirit will say, no, don't buy that car. It's shiny on the outside, but the engine no good. I mean, I'm amazed. He wants to lead you and guide you in all things. But we have to make sure we learn to obey God. So if you're here today and you want the Holy Spirit to lead you, as the choir begin to minister, I want you to pray concerning that. I want you to ask him. Because if you don't ask him, he will not mess with you. It is very, very important that you ask. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you receive not because you never ask. And you know what is so good? It's purely up to you. The devil cannot control you unless you let him. You have a choice. The devil can entice you. He can try to tempt you. But at the end of the day, you have to make the decision. So as the minister, I want you to search your heart. Make a decision to live for God. And before you leave today, if you need prayer, if you're live streaming with us, there's a number under the screen. Call that number. There are ministers waiting to pray with you. And I want to encourage all of you on your way out. Learn to give for the work of the ministry. It's for your own good. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. Honor him with the first fruit of your increase. Why, brother pastor? So that your barn will be filled with plenty. So that your skin will burst out with new wine. That promise is for God's children. But it takes walking obedience. Those of you who are live streaming, you say, pastor, I'm not in the building. How can I partake of that? Well, go to ZionHill.com. There's an opportunity for online giving. And believe me when I tell you, the Lord will bless you, the Lord will increase you and multiply you for every seed that you sow into this ministry. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please help me welcome the greatest choir on earth. Yes, sir, I said it. In Jesus' name. Come on, give them a hand one more time.
Just as pastor just bless you, we want to continue to just speak a blessing over you as we depart this place today.
Upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children.
May his favor be upon you
and a thousand generation and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Hey,
and a thousand generations and all your family and your children and their children and their children.